Praise and thanks be to the Lord for all the precious songs that we may worship Him again tonight and also hear His word together. We know that this world is not our home, but we seek the world to come. We seek what God has promised and wait for it. Just as Abraham waited, so do we. And we know that the days are passing so quickly and that we will soon be there with Him. This is our faith and our confidence and our trust in the living God. Here it says, in the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 16, from verse 59, here God speaks to His people, "For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." Yes, that is something marvelous. We have sung it, and we can read it. What God promises, He will certainly keep. When He makes a covenant, He wants to keep it. We as human beings can fail, and perhaps the people of Israel also failed. But He is the one who does not fail. "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." And we believe this with all our heart. What God has begun, He will carry out. And the covenant He has made, He will keep. Perhaps, as I said before, it is impossible with people, but with God all things are possible. Here in Psalm 105, this psalmist already says, perhaps from verse 8, he says, "He has remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance." These are glorious words of God. And we know that this psalmist also says it here. He knew that what God promises will happen. He says that He remembers His covenant forever. We see that perhaps thousands of years have passed and He still remembers the covenant, the words He spoke. And we see in our day how His words are being fulfilled. When we look at the people of Israel and see what God has promised and that He brings them back to their land, we see that it must happen. Despite all the resistance of the enemies, it must come about because the Almighty has spoken it. Brothers and sisters, it is the same with us. No one can change this fact. What God has promised His bride church and what He has planned for her, He will provide for her. And no one can or will be able to prevent it. even if enemies may rise up and oppose it. But what God has promised, He will give. What God has promised, sings a hymn writer, that remains. And even if heaven and earth pass away, God keeps His word. God fulfills it. Perhaps sometimes differently than we suspect, differently than we would like to see. But He comes to His right. He will keep His covenant. He will keep His faithfulness. It is also important that we also remain faithful to Him, that we hold on to the words He has spoken, the covenant, that we do not break it, but that we know that it was not a man who spoke, but Almighty God, even in our day. And for this, I think we are very grateful and our hearts are very happy. Even if sometimes we may not feel like rejoicing, but on the other hand, when we see what God has spoken, then we can become joyful within ourselves and offer God honor and worship and praise. And that is what we are gathered here again tonight. I believe He will bless us from the riches of His grace. Let us now rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank You with all our hearts for this day and for this hour, for these moments. We thank You, Lord, that You have not only made a covenant with Your people Israel, but that You have also established an eternal covenant with us in these days. And You remember Your covenant. You will not let it lapse. No, Lord, what You have spoken once will remain. You will honor the word You have spoken, O Lord. And for this we worship You and praise Your glorious name. We thank You, Lord, that we may be here again tonight to praise Your glorious name. Lord, You are our God. Yes, Lord, Your judgments are upon the whole earth. But Lord, Your mercy is upon Your people. We praise Your glorious name. We worship You and give You alone the honor, for You are our God. Yes, You are the God of Your people Israel. You have called them again, Lord, to their homeland. And You hold Your hands over them, O Lord. And You will be with them. You will be with us too, Lord. Thanks be to Your wonderful and glorious name. Lord, we do not want to boast, but we praise Your grace and Your faithfulness. And we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Your words and for the covenant You have made with Your people in our day. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to You. We ask You to bless all those who cannot be here this evening. Bless all Your people in all places, wherever they may be scattered. But You know their hearts, for You are the Lord God who sees through all the lands and searches all hearts. Lord, You also know our hearts tonight. We worship You and thank You from the depths. Hallelujah. Receive the honor, receive the praise and worship. In Jesus' name, Amen. We could have confidently continued singing. I kept closing my eyes and just looking ahead to see if anyone had already left. But it feels so good. It feels good to sing to the Lord, to really sing from the heart and to deepen and think of what He has done for all of us by grace. Truly, God has done great things. I also read in the one song that we didn't sing, and it says, victorious you will triumph, however hot the battle may be. Only do not lose faith and do not look at the enemy power. Only look to the cross, where victory has long since been won, where the enemies have fled and the dark power has been subdued. I will stride forward victoriously, even if my heart is wounded, even if I fall and my soul is in deep pain. Nevertheless, it must always be said, victorious on the road to victory. Nothing can tear me away from Jesus. Forwards, upwards, heavenwards. The song poets also had something in mind when they wrote their poems. So in the fight, do not grow weary. With faith, I will stand by the cross, not fearing the shadows of death, even if everything goes under. Victorious, I see waving above, shining the crown of victory, flashing heavenly, handed to me by the Son of God. That is the ultimate goal of our faith, to behold the glory of God. And if we have the certainty within us and actually know that we will be there, then we can confidently say, what can separate us from the love of God that has been revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord? Absolutely nothing and no one. Because God's decision is valid for all eternity. And it has fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have heard a wonderful word. I read on, and it says in verse 62, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame. When I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. I believe that if we look at everything the Lord says here, none of us will have the opportunity to open our mouths. But as it is written elsewhere, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is nothing left for us, any of us or anyone else who has experienced the grace of God, who has entered and been included in the covenant with God, to boast about other than the grace of our God. We have been put to shame by God. And I have to remember, as Brother Branham pointed out, that God made a covenant with Abraham without conditions. God didn't say, I will do this and you do that and make a deal. But God took Abraham, made a covenant with him, made promises, and then sent him on his journey. When God gave the law and made the covenant with Moses and Israel, it was always, you shall, and you must, and you must not. And God did this for the reason of showing us the state, the fallen state, the impossible state with which we cannot stand before God, and then to pardon us in order to come back into the covenant with God, which was given unconditionally by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It pleased God to do this, and we have set it out here. We could never have realized that we had sinned if it had not been written, you must not do this or that or the other, and whoever does these things is guilty before God. And that is why the Holy Scriptures say, knowledge of sin comes through the law. If the law had not come, we would not know what sin is, but we would also not know what salvation is, what grace is, what forgiveness is, what all these things mean. For this reason, we can only thank God, who has gone to so much trouble with humanity and has walked and still walks a path that we can understand in faith and say, this is the path that God walks with us. We have all read along here, for thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. There are two things here. Firstly, the covenant of the past in relation to Israel at that time. And then, I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. What God did in Christ on Calvary is not temporal, but eternal. And we have been taken into this eternal covenant with God. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. We could delve ourselves in this scripture. You can believe me when I think about the fact that I was told, gather my people to me, with whom I have made a covenant by sacrifice. Today, it is really about the people of God who gather in the presence of the Lord, who are ready to receive His word, the words of the covenant, and who believe God with all their heart. It's not just about doctrinal things. Those are good. It's a backbone. But you don't just consist of a backbone. There have to be many members to form a body. And that is why it is necessary for us to come together before the face of God and to keep reminding ourselves of what God has done in the covenant that He made with us of His own accord, without asking you and me, without us being there on earth. But from God's point of view, we were already in Christ, because that is how it is written. And that is how Brother Branham emphasized it again and again. We were in Him when He wrestled in Gethsemane. We were in Him when He died on Golgotha. We were buried with Him. We were resurrected with Him. We have been transferred with Him into heavenly places. If we will ever be there, we have always been there. Because the life of God has never began, but has always been. And in the thoughts of God, in the plan of God, in the purpose of God, we have already been where He wants us to be. We may not be able to fully comprehend this, but that's how it is. And because God has made, I almost say it, a one-sided covenant, but if He does, then that's right. We have not been asked, and yet we have recognized that this covenant also includes us, and that we now belong to the Lord forever and ever. I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, just earlier, two or three verses from verse 10. That which has been is named already, and from the beginning it is certain what a man's fate will be. And no one is able to call to account the one who is stronger than he. There is indeed much talk, but that only increases vanity. What benefit is there for man? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? You all know that this man was blessed with wisdom like no other. And here it says, everything that happens is determined long beforehand. This has also been emphasized, and we believe in divine predestination in our lives. And from the beginning it is certain what a man's fate will be. Can we all believe that? Then I ask myself, why I should still quarrel with God? What sense and purpose is the story supposed to have? If everything is actually certain from God's point of view, if it is certain, then I can't change it. The things of God do not shake and wobble. They stand firm. And that is a good thing. And that's a good thing. If we could shake and wobble and bring movement into it, what would be left? Nothing at all. Then everything would collapse. We lift ourselves up by such words and thank the Lord that they are written for our instruction, comfort and exhortation, that we may be strengthened and go forward in the Lord. Everything that happens is determined a long time ago beforehand, and from the beginning it is certain what a man's fate will be. It was certain that we are here today, that you have moved to this land, that our brother has come, that we have all been saved, that our lives have been given a divine content. Everything was certain. Yes, then who wants to shake it? Who wants to loosen it when God has made it firm? Let us give thanks that God has done so, because that is where our faith is anchored. If everyone could still shake and rattle everything that God does and perhaps loosen it, yes, what wouldn't everything be loose then? No, the things that God has made are firm forever and ever, because that is how He has ordained them. And in this I say again, our faith rests and unbelief gives way. The moment faith takes hold of us, unbelief has to leave us. Most certainly, for faith and unbelief cannot be with us at the same time. For the two certainly do not belong together. It continues here, and no one is able to call to account the one who is stronger than he, and that is God. God, who has determined all things in advance for your life and mine, who will call him to account? Sometimes we have the tendency to quarrel with him, not in a bad sense. I only have one thing that moves me with the Lord, not the preaching, not the teaching, but that we can somehow feel His presence. I almost said visibly, as it was for my sake in the Old Testament, when the cloud of God's glory came and descended over the tabernacle, and everyone knew, now the Lord is speaking to Moses. Everyone knew that. There was no guesswork involved. But when this cloud of glory took its place over the entrance of the tabernacle, everyone knew Moses is there in the presence of the Lord God, and the Lord is talking to him. Then when he comes out, he has a word from God to bring to us. Sometimes I think how nice it would be if the Lord God could give us such a visible presence of God. It's all possible with God. I think I just heard something on a tape tonight, and Brother Branham said the well-known thing about the breastplate, and he said, God has always had a way, or he even says two or three ways, to respond and meet the people. And he says, One was with a breastplate, which was when anybody came and brought a dream or a revelation or anything, then he had to stand before the high priest and he said what he had to say. And if no supernatural light shone out of the breastplate, then the person concerned could leave ashamed, because it was he and not God who had spoken. The man or the person himself knew how it was by an answer from God or by God's silence. If God remained silent, then the person concerned could leave. Everything stayed the same and it remained dark. There was no answer from God. And yet the person concerned and also the people had an answer. Because with God there is an answer even when he is silent. Because then he has not spoken. And that makes us think and we beat our chest and say, Lord, then we have said something of our own. What should be on our hearts, if it is not already the case, is this desire for the direct presence of God, for an infallible confirmation of His Word through His presence. And here too, I repeat what Brother Branham said, so that no one thinks that I'm saying it here on my own initiative. But he prays from his heart and says, Lord, let me tonight show every sinner the way of salvation. Become to every saint what you want to be done. And bring the requests before the Lord like this, with the deepest desire that the service he is about to begin, by the way, it was one of the ones I witnessed back then, and that the service has something to offer, to give, to say, whatever it may be, to every single one who is present. And basically, we all have the same desire. We don't come together just to sing a few songs. They may be part of it. So what? But that can't be the point of our being together in the long term. No. A holy dissatisfaction should take hold of us until a God-given contentment sets in to the extent that we can say with a true heart, God was present. He did this and that. We have sometimes spoken about this too. Where has the Lord held even one meeting without anything happening? Everywhere, whether he entered a house, salvation happened to the house. Whether he met a person, wherever and whatever, there was no day, no meeting, no service without God ministering to people and meeting them. That is what we long for. And we long for the Lord to come into His own today too. So how do we get there? It must be faith. We expect all the promises to be fulfilled. And we can see that. But if we want to be completely realistic apart from all the marvelous things that God has done, and we are grateful for them. There should in no way be any ungratefulness here. But we want the Lord to do once again what He has promised in the church, that it happens to Israel and among the nations, that humanity is in the condition that the Lord said it would be in the days when the Son of Man will be revealed. It will be like Sodom and Gomorrah and like the days of Noah. It's all there. But that is not all. This is being fulfilled without us having to do anything, without us having to make an effort to believe. All things that are not connected with the Church of the Living God are fulfilled without our doing anything. But here we come to the point. The things that God has promised to the Church are not fulfilled at all without us. And that is the difference between all the general promises in all areas of the world. They all fulfill themselves without our involvement, without us having to believe mightily. But in the Church, nothing at all happens that God has promised, unless we act on it in faith and take God at His word and thank Him that He has already done it so that He can fulfill it. Have we realized that? Everything else is fulfilled without us, passes us by right and left, or we take note of it in passing, and then it has already happened. But what has to happen to the Church depends on us, who are part of the Church. God will only be able to work in the Church through the Church. And that means that all individual members must make themselves available to the Lord. Who of you has ever thought about how we should make ourselves available to the Lord? Not that we make plans, that would not be right, but that we inwardly seek and find fellowship with God, so that from this connection to God, there could be a direct leading of the Holy Spirit in our midst, so that the Lord can glorify Himself and confirm His word. How many want to steer this in their hearts? It is not enough that just one or two deal with it, but that we all simply say to the Lord in prayer, "Faithful God, we want every promise You have made to the Church to be fulfilled through her and in her. We are here at Your disposal. Teach us to pray, teach us to believe, and receive as You expect from us." I believe that God will then not owe us the answer, but He will answer because He has given the promises unconditionally and has linked them only to faith, not to circumstances, but to faith. If the promises of God were dependent on circumstances, no one would have experienced them, and everyone would have looked at the circumstances. No, they are detached from everything. But we too, I believe, I say to myself personally, must free ourselves from the circumstances that bind us with God's help. And as we heard at the weekend, be bound by the Lord, prisoners of the Lord, but released by God, and then prisoners, so that the Lord can carry out His will through us according to His word. That is why 2 Corinthians 1 verses 20 and 21 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. He cannot exclude us because He has included us. We are simply part of it. We need God and He needs us. So let's take this word to heart. Let's thank Him that everything happens as He has long predestined. As we read here, everything that happens is determined a long time ago beforehand, and no one is able to call to account the one who is stronger than he. I know a man who wrestled with God, and it is written of him that he was victorious. It was Jacob. Jacob. He wrestled with God. He wrestled with the angel, with the Lord, and he was victorious. God arranged and guided all this for the sake of his friend Abraham and gave blessing to all those who walked in the footsteps of faith, sought their help from God, found their refuge in him, and were then blessed by him. May the Lord bless us in such a way that one day it could be said, these are the blessed of the Lord, that His presence might yet be revealed once again, not just in words or prayers or songs, but actually so tangibly and mightily, that we ourselves and others might yet witness and see it. God is more than capable of giving and bestowing it to us by grace, just as we sincerely long for it and desire it. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your precious and holy word. You have placed us in the last days, at the end of the last church age, to hear the last message through the last messenger, to receive the last speaking of God, and to participate in the last work of God. Almighty God, as far as your plan is concerned, it lies before us, like an architect's drawing. But now, Lord, Come and take yourself all the tools of the trade, all the craftsmen, and give us all together the insight and the overview of your plan and your intention in these days. Lord, give us grace that we do not think that everything has to be done by one person. No, the one God who works through us all and confirms His word. Lord, I thank you for all teaching, for every deep introduction into your word and into your will. Lord, may a full restoration be revealed in our midst, indeed in your entire church, as confirmation that you are true and that your word has been fulfilled. Beloved Lord, we believe with all our hearts that you will do it and that you will not pass by us, but that the people of the covenant will be gathered before your face. We have not only heard, but we will also see that God lives and that He confirms His word. Lord, now we pray for our brother who is returning to Poland, and for our precious sister who is also returning with her son. Lord, we ask you to bless them and be with them. Lord, go before them. Place them there as a blessing and enable them to bear witness, even if it is in weakness, for you are strong enough to work through weak vessels. Lord, we thank you for all our brothers and sisters in East and West, in South and North. Lord, who you gave us the privilege of hearing and believing and receiving all the words of the covenant, give us grace, open our eyes of faith, so that we may behold your glory and see the confirmation, for you will give it. We are convinced of this. What will not happen to Israel or to the whole world will happen to your bride. Faithful Lord, bridegroom of our souls, we thank you for this. Take us, make us prisoners of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Put your will into our hearts and add your power to it, so that it will be carried out to your glory and honor and praise and to your satisfaction. Lord, here we are. Tear us out of our circumstances and bind us to you. Subjugate us with you, O Lord. We thank you for it. We can believe it already. Hallelujah. And we glorify you and we praise you. Satan is the great deceiver and the great liar. You, O God, are true. We thank you for that. You stand by your word and fulfill it. Lord, help us all, then we'll be helped, and bless us, then we are blessed. Worship to your name. Amen.